Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Our buddy Rex Hudler is in town.
Everything we do is about the people. That's what it's all about. And that's probably why I'm in this business now.
Well, we appreciate that you are in the business now. What's going on with the Royals this year? Because there's a lot of talent in that lineup, and it hasn't quite clicked.
Well, you know, we had such a tremendous season last year. We just not have performed like we were hoping offensively.
A season best 12 runs for the Royals at Wrigley tonight. And they take game one of this three-game set 12-4.
What a game!
Thank you, Hud. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful time in Chicago.
Ah, oh, man, anytime you guys want me, I'll come in the studio. We'll have some fun.
Adam Amin.
This show is a party today. My goodness.
I was wondering what that cloud was after Hudler walked out of the room.
Dude.
How much marijuana is being smoked? The smell of that is quite pungent in the air right now.
Texters and people inside the mob. You're right. There is a little Bill Walton going on there.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit of Bill Walton going on there.
Life and baseball go hand in hand. Man, you show up every day. It's a grind.
Thank you, Chicago, for your kindness, for your generosity, for your patience.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for my life.
But I have so much fun meeting people and then to be blessed to go right to the booth and 27 years later talking about ball in the grand game? Ah, I can't fathom it. It's hard to catch my breath, but you guys are pumping me up.
Shine on, heel on, Maui Beach Boy on, David Axelrod, Sam Smith on, it's all of them. Here we go.
And you know, the women here are beautiful. I was with Face the Stands because all those girls were hot.
It all rolls into one.
Harry Carey said, "You're the fastest white guy I've ever seen."
Thanks for my life.
You guys have made my day. Thank you so much for letting me be on with you.
I don't like the Royals. I don't like them.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got a ton to do today. This is a very busy day for this here show, and everyone is ready. The doc is being updated as we speak because we've got to make some changes. We had a late scratch.
Uh-huh. PCA with the bruised knee.
Well, let's find out what's going on with PCA.
Oh, no, it's Craig Counsell who is the late scratch.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk with Craig Counsell at 3 o'clock. Something's up, so he can't do it. And hopefully it's baseball related and it's not anything other than that.
One would hope. Maybe by this time next week they will have made some of their trade acquisitions. It'll be a cleaner and easier conversation.
Maybe by later on in today's show, they will have done something.
And I think
you would think that he's already at the facility and they're probably like, "Hey, Craig, can we get you in here for a minute? Well, I was supposed to talk to the Spiegel guy and the other guy." And they're like, "They can wait."
Yeah.
There might be stuff going on.
I always think of when Jed told us a couple of weeks ago that Craig is so good at implementing new bullpen pieces because he's part of the acquisition process.
Correct.
So let's go back to him being part of the acquisition process and understand what they need to do. He said before the game last night that Ben Brown would work in bulk because they're short in terms of starters. And then Ben Brown went out and did what he did, some seriously non-competitive pitches at certain times.
They should probably start looking for starters.
I think they might be a little late.
They might be a little late. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
I need to go back and hear the open because it was about Rex Hudler and weed and the Grateful Dead and Bill Walton, and I missed some of it.
You did, but we don't have time for that. You want to know why?
Why?
Because Nico Horner is going to join us.
He get married? Married.
We got to talk to him about that. You have some pizza stats from baseballpizzareference.com.
It's a great website.
That you need to talk about with Nico.
I think Tanny put those down. It wasn't even me.
I thought that was your thing.
No.
Oh, Tanny, you got all the stats?
Tanny's got pizza stats.
I got a sauce inside of there, you know, pizza metrics. It's just fun with numbers, that's all.
Pizzagrass.com. Yeah. So we will talk with Nico about all of that stuff. And the Cubs, now the second place Cubs. We'll talk to Nico about that next here on The Score.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Horner. Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hörner, that's so fun.
Nico Hörner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates? Wow.
All right, guys, Nico Hörner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
He's obviously certainly one of the most undervalued players, and I think over the last, 5 years when that game went to a, true three outcome, Nico's skill set and his ability to make contact, he's so strong-minded and, comes through for the team all the time in those situations.
Nico drives under the gap in left center, long run, Grisham. Can't get it. That ball's up against the wall in deep left center. Nico around second. He's going for three. The relay not in time. Lead off triple Nico Hörner. Now that's the way to raise a curtain on a ball game.
Hörner leaps in the air and snow cones that one. Nice play. Hörner lunging to his left. Some good hands from Nico.
Continues to build his case to win another gold glove.
You know what, Elise? I think the Chicago Cubs have the best All-star break of any team.
Nico Hörner gets engaged.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Nico.
So psyched when I saw
Beyonce,
that.
Beyonce, their families. Forever and ever.
So cute. Love this.
Nothing's colder than a summer in San Francisco. Congratulations, guys.
Just awesome.
Nico Hörner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's a lot of damn fun. We love talking with Nico Hörner. He joins us every week. He had a nice all-star break, and we're happy for him and proud of him. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Nico, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials.
Oh, we've got a muting issue. We can't hear you. Give it one more shot. Nope, we've still got a muting issue. Something, it might be the headphones, a Bluetooth connection.
Wait, is this the same thing that happened last time?
That's what I'm thinking. As I'm thinking, it might be the same thing as last time. He's the best and most willing and congenial ball player guest of all time. And so it's just the technical aspects. Now we got him? Let's try it again, sir. We got you.
You can hear me?
Yes, now we got you. We are very happy to speak with you. Congratulations, you're getting married.
Yeah, big time. Moving up in the world, doing big things. It was a good all-star break.
What are you willing to share with the listeners? Was there pure surprise? Was there, like, what was your process for asking your girl to marry you?
Yeah, it was close to our place in San Francisco, down by the water. So that part was by ourselves. Then we came back home. And that was where the real surprise was, as far as just how many people were able to be there from around the country. We had about 25, 30 people up on our rooftop and able to celebrate in a really great way.
Wow, that's awesome. So you had a surprise gathering that she didn't know about. Well done, sir. Long time in the planning?
Yeah, a couple months. That's why I kind of tanked towards the All-Star break, make sure that stayed out of Atlanta and keep the plans intact,
I think you made the right choice.
Oh my God.
Did you cry? And did she cry?
Oh, of course. There's good tears all around. We've been together for almost 10 years since freshman year of college. So long time coming, maybe no surprise to close people to us, but still amazing to kind of enter this next chapter.
Were you scared? Like, you guys have been together for a decade, so she's probably not going to say no. But was there ever a moment where you're like, she might say no or not yet? How were you scared?
You know, our communication is pretty solid to where I felt good on that end. The nerves is more on the logistics side, just including people from around the country and keeping things a secret and food and drinks and logistics and all the above. But sometimes when you're doing that much, it can be things kind of fly by. You're not present for it. So I was really glad that just how much we were able to enjoy it all.
Who almost messed it up, Nico?
It was pretty smooth all around. I think I was later told by her that the pace of my walking was a little faster than normal as we were heading down there. I'm real slow out in the world. I move pretty slow through things. Not always that way on a baseball field, but definitely in the day to day. So I think she sensed something was up just by my pace. But yeah, hard to fool people that know you well.
Such a good joke by you about tanking before the All-Star break to make sure that you don't have to go to Atlanta. Because all I'm thinking about, Lawrence, our last time talking to Nico before the break was like, hey, you could still make the team. I mean, would you go? And your
answer. Little did we know.
I know. Your answer was like, well, yeah, I think I'd make the All-Star game my focus. Meanwhile, you're kind of hoping at that point, well, let's go ahead and get through with this. Right?
No, it would have been a very good problem to have to move that party to another time. Obviously, good things all around.
What did the guys say that went to the All-Star game? How did they feel about it?
It was fast and chaotic, but just an incredible thing to be a part of. And I think the thing I've heard most consistently from guys is just sharing a locker room with all those people is really cool, even if it's brief. And you know, whether it's your first time or your fifth or whatever it is, just having all the game's best in one place is really quite a showcase for the sport. And just I imagine is an amazing thing to experience.
Nico, did you think at this point in your career you would be hitting against a pitcher old enough to be your dad? It's
Rich Hill tomorrow. He's 45, or tonight, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, testament to him. And just in a sport that's gotten increasingly hard to stick around for players after they even turn, you know, 31, 32, he's, you know, still doing it and getting guys out and, you know, features a mix that's stayed consistent throughout his career. Obviously kind of knows himself, I imagine, really, really well. And, you know, it's not by chance that he's found his way back to the big leagues.
There's a little video of Mick Jagger when he was 28. With the Rolling Stones saying, if you think we're going to be doing this when we're 40, you are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Meanwhile,
those guys
are 80.
It's like, yeah. 80 and still rolling. So let's ask you, Nico Horner, at 45, if you have the opportunity to still be in the big leagues, do you think you'd be battling to stay in the big leagues?
I mean, it really seems pretty impossible. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think I have a family and stuff by then, and other things are pulling me away. I just, if I'm still able, 45 is just like beyond possibility. But yeah, who knows? I'm going to play as long as I'm able-bodied and a good version of myself. But yeah,
hey, we'll see. Leadoff Nico is really exciting for us. I think it's just so freaking cool, especially that Saturday at Yankee Stadium where you tripled the lead off the game.
Yeah, that felt really good. That felt significant.
Oh, yeah. It did, right? I mean, because like, so why did that feel significant, and what does it feel like to have some success up there?
I mean, the Friday night game we played there was, you know, very one-sided loss, and just to go, you know, night to day game, right back to the field, be the first person in the batter's box for either team as a visiting team, and to, you know, hit a ball hard off of, you know, obviously an incredible pitcher, Max Fried, and start us off, get a run, get going. And then obviously we had a lot of great at bats after that, but kind of break the seal a little bit. It felt amazing.
It is being a leadoff guy exciting for you? What's the feeling?
Yeah, just the opportunity to impact the game, impact winning. You know, the first inning is a leverage inning. That's why you know, you see the openers and you see an emphasis on the first inning. You know, it's the top of the order. It's who scores first. It's dictating momentum. And to be in the middle of all that and have a chance to be on base for the big bats in our order and all that is very exciting.
So do you change as a hitter, at least for that first at bat? What's your internal dialogue like?
I mean, it does feel different, I think, especially when you're the visiting team. Just like, sometimes it feels different having already been out in the field and then coming back to hit like we do at home. But yeah, I mean, there's certain times when you kind of go back and forth on swinging on the first pitch of the game. And but no, not too much. I mean, there's definitely no like message from counsel or anything about, you know, what he wants from me in that spot. He just wants us to do the best version of ourselves. And roll it out there with confidence, and it's kind of all you can do.
It can be a heavy thing to have the roles change and have people have to step up. You and Michael Bush both doing that, and then Ian having to adjust. Seems like Ian's taking it well and being a good teammate and responding well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was never going to be an issue with him as far as handling things like a pro. And, you know, first things first, he just wants to, be the best version of himself and continue to hit the ball hard. He's had a pretty tough stretch of batted ball luck the last, 6 weeks or so. And, no one's worried about him. We all know he's been as strong-minded as anyone when it comes to, like, going through challenges personally and then coming out on the other side of them even better than he was before. I think you've seen him do that many, many times in his career. So excited for his second half.
So you said first inning's a leverage inning. Maybe this is obvious, but what are the other leverage innings, if there are some?
I imagine the ninth in a close game. And then I guess just other times when the top of the order is coming up, I think sometimes you see, higher, instead of it being like, this is your seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guys, maybe that eighth inning guy throws in the sixth if it matches up well with, Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez or whatever it is. I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with that.
I got you. I thought maybe you were talking about like maybe the fifth or the sixth when the starter is a little tired or they're about to go to that first guy, like maybe the sixth these days,
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Like that, there's some innings that really feel like opportunity missed too. Like when you have a starter right on the, the verge and they kind of choose to leave him out there and he feels vulnerable and you aren't able to score, kind of things like that, that I don't feel like all innings are created equal. Yeah.
Nico, you guys have been playing pretty good baseball for the last few weeks. And for a minute, you guys had the best record in the National League. And then poof, you look up today and here are the Milwaukee Brewers in first place. I know that you guys aren't really scoreboard watching, and it's probably too early even for fans to be doing that, but I'd love to know what your mindset is like when you're like, you guys have been in control for the most part of this division, and now all of a sudden, here these guys are on an incredible win streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I think the best way to see it is just as an awesome opportunity, and that, credit to them for playing well and putting themselves in a strong spot. But we've got however many games left and plenty of games against each other to just see who the better team is, and that's why it takes 162. And I don't think there's any regrets on our end of how we've played so far, of how we've handled things. There's things we can do better, and I think the feeling is that it's in our control as far as our destiny in the division, given that we play them a lot and there's a lot of baseball left. So that's why it's a special thing to go to the playoffs to win a division. And we haven't done it in a while, so it's definitely something to be earned.
There've been times where we might look at the Brewers and say, oh man, they play cleaner, faster, better, even though the other team has more power. I don't know that that's true this year. Like, I feel like you guys play clean and athletic and fast and smart. Like, do you feel like you play as well as they do, or as other teams like the Diamondbacks or other good teams out there? I feel like you guys measure up this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot, but the ability to win a variety of styles of games, I really think that's huge, not just relying on slug or strikeouts or whatever it may be. And I can speak more on our position player group, but just a really well-rounded group that I think the skill sets complement each other really well. And yeah, you mentioned the Diamondbacks and the Brewers and really athletic teams that have, had success in getting to the playoffs and also once they're there. So, yeah, I think that's a huge deal, and it definitely has a different feeling about the group this year.
Nico, what's it like in the clubhouse this time of year? Because you guys have been through trade stuff before. There are a lot of names last year about guys who might be moved. So what's it like for veteran players? Because you know that your team might add something. How do you guys react to even the talk of your team making a move?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret, right? Like, I mean, I'm not up on every headline or things like that, because those things really rarely dictate much. But you know, that's a, I think we've earned a position to, you know, look into improving our roster to be the best version of ourselves to get to October and have success there. As far as internal discussions, like, yeah, there's always talks within players. Just, I think we're always kind of evaluating our team and what we can do better individually or ways we can improve. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the front office. I think one thing that people don't realize, I think sometimes, is that like talk of trade or adding players is also replacing players that are here. So, you know, the trade deadline may be in 10 days or whatever, but the reality is we have a lot of games between now and then with the group of people that we have here right now, which is kind of all that matters, because it's what you can control. And, you know, you got guys that are battling for playing time and roles and people that have been here since the start of the year and worked incredibly hard. And so as far as like openly discussing how to improve the roster, you're also kind of talking about, you know, replacing guys that you really care about too. So it can be a sensitive thing.
Yeah, you don't want to blurt out, hey, we need some help at position X, and some dude's right there.
See,
you know?
I'm right here, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might be on the verge of some of the best ball they've ever played, so you never know.
Well, you know, is there any smile that you've seen that's bigger than those Matt Shaw home run smiles? Like, over the weekend.
Man, that swing yesterday was something special. That ball scared me because it was trying to go foul. But... yeah, like he's just handled everything so well this year, and like the confidence internally from just our guys and everything, and like the kind of career he's going to have. And I think a lot of that confidence comes from just like the personality that he's put forth and the way that he's handled challenges this year. And just really impressed by him. And he's had some really great swings lately. And the defense he's played has just been ridiculous for a guy that hasn't played much third base. That's a really hard position, and it's been fun to watch.
Nico, obviously at Wrigley, every weekend kind of feels big. Like it's a it's an emotional amplifier of a ballpark. Yep. This weekend felt different to me. I was there on Friday, so was Spiegs, and so was our EP Alex. And does it feel different to you? There's, what, 120,000 people over the three games that showed up to watch you guys versus the Red Sox. Can you guys even feel that, or is that us imagining stuff?
No, that's very real. I felt it most on Saturday. I think they had the leadoff double against Shota and, you know, runner on third, less than two outs. And it felt like a seventh, eighth inning kind of situation in the top of the first, which – I was just kind of in the field like, whoa, this is different. This is exciting. And, you know, he struck a guy out and got out of the score list. And just a, you know, the beautiful summer night game, Red Sox in town. They're coming off of winning a bunch of games in a row. They've got a great team, great energy coming off the break. Just like it was very much a real feeling I had. Yeah, it was really special. So, yeah, that was the game that Bush and Tuck hit homers to start the game. Yeah, the whole thing was just like kind of cinema. So it was incredible. Yeah,
that's really cool that you felt that, because it was obvious all weekend around that place, man. It's like two heritage franchises having a love affair with their fans again. You know?
Yeah. No, it's how it's supposed to be, and it's I think it's something that should be earned from teams. Like, I don't think it should be assumed that Wrigley is always like that. I think it. You know, I appreciate that we have fans that show up no matter what, but it should be based on a team that wins, a team that does it in exciting fashion, that has personalities the fans like. And I think that you can't do that overnight, but I think the fans appreciate that there is some really cool stuff going on this year.
So we've been doing some metrics, Nico.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't. We have to give credit. Chris Tannehill has created pizzagraphs.com.
Yeah. And he's got sound too. He listens to the broadcast and he pulls stuff like when Boog and JD talk about your pizza.
By the way, Nico Horner, I think it's Rinaldi's. He's got his own pizza. It has pineapple on it. Just a note. In the air, left field, playable for Castro.
It's a Cali thing.
A Cali thing. That seems like a dismissive tone from Jim Deshays. About the pineapple, your thoughts, Nico?
Yeah, JD seems like a tavern style cheese. Give me a beer on the side and hang out. I don't know.
That's right. I'll eat
that's
the.
All right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Boog's a New York guy, so I'm sure he's got his deeply rooted pizza bagels opinions, which are usually correct. They do it really well.
But you know me, man. I'm team pineapple. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. And here's the thing.
I'm not going to judge you if you aren't. It's just I like it. So there you go.
The public is team pineapple. This is fun with numbers. Pizzas sold since the 20th of June.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
That's right, Craig. We're having fun with numbers for Nico. Danny Parkins has sold 245 pizzas since June 20th. Nico Horner, 659 pizzas. You are 414 pizzas ahead of Danny since the 20th of June. Your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe a little, you know, early excitement, recency bias. I want to know the return customers. That's what I'm really caring about. You've had it once. Do you order it again? I'd love stats on that if that's possible. That's getting pretty deep analytics for pizza, but
that's why we started pizzagraphs.com for stuff just like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it feels really good.
Once the league sees you once you get around the league one time and then the adjustments come, that's when you really gotta step up.
Exactly.
It's that,
it's a production league, so we're good.
That's the third time around the order that pizza. So the third time that it's ordered, that's when we'll really know that we're on to something with Nico.
Hey, man, we got to ask you, Ryan Sandberg's jersey all over Wrigley this weekend. I'm sure you've heard about his health update that he offered. You see Kerry Wood there, and you see John Lester wearing his jersey. And it's, I mean, what has it meant to you so far as a Cub to have Rhino in your life and in your baseball life and get to really think about him as a player and get to know him as a dude?
Yeah, I think what's so cool about the time that he spends around here is that it's never about him, even though it totally could be and would deservedly be so. It's like he's genuinely just like interested in seeing how we're training, what we're thinking about, like what things are still similar, what's changed, just being on the field, being in the sunshine, like just like the classic baseball stuff. You can tell he just misses being a ball player out there. And my favorite moment with him that I've had was I just mentioned in passing one time that, you know, I'd love to see his glove, one of his gloves, you know. And he showed up at spring training like months later and he had two of his gloves. It was the 84 season and 89. He had like a little Sharpie on it, 84 and 89, and they were worn out in like the same exact way in the palm, and had, you know, the gold label on the wrist, and just cool that he had kept them and kept them in great shape and wanted to share and had remembered and took the initiative to share that with me. So yeah, he's an absolute baseball legend, and thinking of him a lot.
Cool.
Beautiful as always. Nico, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man. What should we wear to the wedding, by the way? When is it, and what should we wear?
Wear white.
Okay. All right, good. Just wanted to check. Thank you.
You think you're getting the invite?
He said wear white. I caught that. I mean, he had an opportunity to say, no, Speaks, you won't be invited, and he didn't go down that path, which I respect. You know, did I use live radio to apply a little gentle leverage
into talk about those leverage innings? Jeez,
five leverage minutes of an interview. Jeez. The last minute, he's got to answer quick. All right, see you later. But one more thing, what do I wear? Yeah, I think we're good. You want to be my plus one?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right, let's go.
I mean, that'll give me a chance because I haven't knocked that ballpark off. Not that I would, you know, get in there, but.
San Fran?
Because you wouldn't do it during the season, but I'd at least like to walk around it.
Yeah. Yeah, we could. I think
actually,
that's great.
You know what? I actually think I could get in there.
You know, we could go to Alcatraz. We go to Alcatraz, too.
It's coming to you. You don't have to worry about it.
Could leave me there.
Radio Alcatraz. Lock them up.
It'll be coming to you soon enough.
How am I not there already? I've spent time in Radio Alcatraz.
Soon enough.
It was 2018. I remember it well.
When we come back. It's bear season all of a sudden.
Unreal, man.
Training camp is opened up, and the general manager of the Bears spoke but took no questions. There is a lot of importance in the things that he said, though, before he took no questions. We'll discuss it all next here on The Score.